Sometimes I struggle to know what to preach. Sometimes it's pretty evident. I don't know about this morning. I pray that you would bless the reading, or ask the Lord to bless the reading of His Word and this message. Turn to the 58th chapter of Isaiah. And I want to read the whole chapter. It's only 14 verses. I want you to follow along in this and that song. Two songs this morning that we sang really hit me. Do not I love thee, Lord? Hast thou a lamb in all thy flock? I would disdain to feed. Hast thou a foe before whose face I would fear thy cause to plead? Now, those old poets and writers knew how to formulate verses that really hit me between the eyes. And you have to think about some of those words. Sometimes I wonder, as a follower of Christ and child of God, why my joy seems to wander away. If y'all ever come to church and just kind of felt ho-hum about it, have you ever seen people rejoice and you wondered why? It's amazing to me. I think the Lord deals with this pretty closely and it hits me right between the eyes on this, and I don't really have to wonder why my joy is not full when I really look at myself. Let's read and follow this in chapter 58 of Isaiah. Cry aloud, spare not. Lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgression, and the house of Jacob their sins. That's a tough start to this chapter, isn't it? Yet they seek me daily, and delight to know my ways. Get this. As a nation that did righteousness, and forsook not the ordinance of their God, they ask of me the ordinances of justice. They take delight in approaching to God. Wherefore have we fasted, say they, and thou seest not? Wherefore have we afflicted our soul, and thou takest no knowledge? Behold, in the day of your fast, ye find pleasure and exact all your labors. Behold, ye fast for strife and debate, and to smite with the fist of wickedness. Ye shall not fast as ye do this day, to make your voice to be heard on high. Pretty tough. Is it such a fast that I have chosen? a day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head as a bulrush, and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Wilt thou call this a fast and an acceptable day of the Lord? Is not this the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, and that ye break every yoke? Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house? When thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh? Then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thine health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee, and the glory of the Lord shall be thy rearward. Not re-reward, it's rearward. Then shalt thou call, that means protection, a guarding of your backside. Then shalt thou call, and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, Here I am. If thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke, the putting forth of the finger, and speaking vanity, and if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry, and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise in obscurity, and thy darkness be as the noonday. And the Lord shall guide thee continually, and satisfy thy soul in drought, and make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water whose waters fail not. And they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places, and thou shalt raise up the foundations of many generations, and thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of paths to dwell in. If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, and shalt honor him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words, then shall thou delight thyself in the Lord, and I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. Do you believe God? God spoke this. Do you believe God? I do. I wonder sometimes why I'm in darkness. I wonder sometimes why the foundations of the past and many generations are not here. I wonder a lot of times why there seems to be a disconnect. And it's not a difficult thing to figure out, because God lays it down very plainly in this chapter, doesn't he? Let's start out at the beginning. He says, cry aloud and spare not. Lift up thy voice like a trumpet. Y'all ever heard a trumpet blow? It's loud and very distinct. And the gospel is considered a trumpet, so to speak. When you're speaking God's words, it can be like a trumpet. that piercing, that distinct. Now, he says, show my people, and this is what you cry loud, and spare not. You know, when I used to be young, and my daddy would get out the belt and, you know, and give me what I had coming to me, what I deserved, a spanking, you know, discipline. He did it in love every time. Never hit me out of anger. I mean, he never hit me at all, but he never disciplined me out of anger. And I would say, Daddy, stop. And he wouldn't stop. I mean, he wouldn't stop until he felt like it was enough. And when I got the point, he spared not for my crying, which is another scriptural verse. He's telling this prophet Isaiah, you preach it, and this is what you preach, and you don't spare, you don't leave anything unsaid. Spare not. Show my people their transgressions, and the house of Jacob their sins. Now, boy, I tell you what, that's a hard job for a prophet, for a minister that has the social standing in view. Wouldn't it be hard for a prophet to preach this, to show somebody their sins and their transgressions and cry loud and spare? Wouldn't it be hard to do that if you were worried about your status in life? It'd be difficult, wouldn't it? So it's very difficult, not only for a prophet to do that, but it's also difficult for a pastor to do that, a preacher of the gospel to do that. And this is the situation, he says, and I want you to get this. Yet they seek me daily and delight to know my ways. These are people that he's preaching to. He's saying they seek me daily and they delight to know my ways, to know them. There's a disconnect here. As a nation that did righteousness. You see, did you catch it? He says they delight to know my ways as like a nation that does righteousness. He said they want to know it, but they don't want to do it. You see, you getting that? They want to know it, and I wonder, I find myself sometimes, if I, you know, I desire to know more about God, but he's chiding these people. God is telling this prophet, you tell these people that this is how they are. They want to know about me, but they don't want to do the things that are righteous. They want to know about my ways, but they don't want to do my ways. And have you ever been like that? I have. It scares me because I know myself. I know that when I read the Bible, I read the scriptures, and I wonder why my joy is not full. I mean, I was like that really this morning. I said, that Bible is full of stuff to preach and good stuff. I mean, I read over some Shouting Ground stuff and it wasn't there. It just wasn't there. I didn't have it. It didn't grab me. I had nothing. And I wonder if it's, I don't have to wonder. I know that it's probably because I've been wanting to know more about him and not do more. That's my issue. That's my issue. I don't know what yours is, but I'm be rest assured we probably will find it in here somewhere. He says, these people seek me daily. They delight to know my ways as a nation that did righteousness and forsook not the ordinance of their God. Means God gave them a law, right? And they kept it. They tried to keep it. God gave them ordinances to to observe things in his worship, and they did that. They were bringing the doves, and they were checking the boxes, and they were doing all that kind of stuff. They were doing the sacrifices. They were fasting 3 days a week. They were giving their offerings and tithes and of the mint and anise, and they were doing all those things, weren't they? They were checking all the boxes. They were praying and fasting daily. They didn't forsake my ordinances. They ask of me the ordinances of justice. You know, that's a big push today, isn't it? People want justice, don't they? Social justice is a big push. I mean, you hear people crying about social justice at every turn. I mean, you can't turn on the TV for 5 minutes. Or listen to the radio where somebody's crying about something that happened to them, and they said, they can't do that to me. I deserve justice. They want God to make things just and bring it down and avenge me. That's what they want. They ask of me the ordinances of justice. They take delight in approaching to God. You know, that's how they did. They made broad their phylacteries. You know what a phylactery is? Is a belt, and it's a little pouch that they kept the Word of God in, or some of the parchments and scrolls and things like that. It was really nice, beautifully decorated, and they would put it there and they would wear it right around their girdle saying, I am protected by this. And the bigger it got, the more pious and godly they were to everybody else's eyes, or they thought. God says, and then these people that do that, they make broad their phylacteries, they're checking all the boxes, they're praying in the morning and praying at night, and they're doing all that kind of stuff, and fasting and all that. And then they said, wherefore have we fasted, and thou seest not? See, they were fasting so that the Lord would see them. You know, that so that the Lord would do something for them, or something. They said, Lord, you know, Lord, we've checked all these boxes. We've fasted and you haven't come and visited us. We've fasted, we've done this thing. And he says, wherefore, meaning why, have we afflicted our soul and thou takest no knowledge? He said, we afflicted our soul. We did it. You know, we have bowed down and we've bowed down our head like a bulrush and appeared unto men to fast. That's the way Jesus did. Jesus said it in the New Testament. What he said, you appear unto men to fast, but inside you're just doing all kind of things. He put it a little bit differently here. He said, you bowed your heads, we afflicted our soul, we've appeared unto men to fast, and thou takest no knowledge. He says, we've done all these things and you haven't acknowledged our fasting, our afflicting of our own soul. That's pretty sad. Have you ever, look, I'm serious. Have you ever gotten to the point where you prayed and you says, God, I did all this and I don't know where you're at? Have you done that? I have. Lord, I've been preaching to the church. I've been studying. I've been praying. I've done all that. I've helped all these people. And where are you at? Have you ever done? Really, have you ever prayed that prayer? Where are you at, God? A lot of people wonder where he's at, don't they? Now, I don't wonder where he's at long, because I know where he is. He says, behold, in the day of your fast. Here, see, God sees everything though. See, Whatever men see, God sees that, but He sees on the inside too. And He sees what they do when they go home. He says, behold, in the day of your fast, ye find pleasure. Because if you're fasting, you're not supposed to be enjoying it. And you're not supposed to be about the business of fulfilling the lust of the flesh when you're fasting. Jesus is saying, what you're showing and on the outside and the motivations of your heart and what you're doing where nobody sees is not the same. Y'all get that? Y'all get that point? He says, you're not being truthful with God, really. You're just putting on a show. Now, he says, behold, in the day of your fast you find pleasure and exact all your labors. You ever exacted all your labors? Just like, you know, it's a perfect example of the Pharisee and the publican. Y'all remember that? Y'all remember the Pharisee? Where he says, Lord, God, I thank you that I'm not like this poor publican here. And the publican was down on the ground, you know, at his feet. He says, I thank you that I'm not like him. I fast 3 days a week. I tithe of mint and anise, and I do all these things, and I'm just such a good person that you ought to bless me because I'm so good. And his prayer didn't get up above the top of his head. But God saw it. God didn't recognize it, did he? Because he didn't answer it. Well, he answered it because he didn't justify him. The poor man, this publican, who probably was not poor, he's probably a rich man, but done some heinous thing. That's what a publican did. He smote on his breast. Because he knew it would himself. And he didn't try to put on a show for everybody else. And he smote his breast and he said, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. And he went down justified, went to his house justified. What did they ask for earlier? He says, they ask of me the ordinances of justice. You know what? God gives it to them, don't he? That's tough, isn't it? They exact all their labors. Have you ever done that? Have you counted up all the things that you've done for God and recited them to God? I have. That's how pitiful I get sometimes. You fast for the reason of strife and debate, and to smite with the fist of wickedness. You shall not fast as you do this day to make your voice to be heard on high. He's saying, it's good to fast. It's good to fast. He said, but not the way that you're doing it. If you want me to hear you from on high, do not fast this way. Really, he's saying, don't lie to me. That's what he's saying. Now, then he says, but this is the fast that he chose, that God chose. Now, y'all listen to this. I mean, this is serious. To loose, is not this the fast that I've chosen in 6? To loose the bands of wickedness. That means quit doing it. What's a band? It's a stronghold, it's a rope that you're bound with. If you're doing that, he says, loose those things that bind you. Break free from that. Undo the heavy burdens, all the things that are burdening you in your life. You undo those, you let them go and let the oppressed go free. And that ye break every yoke. He said, that was a question. He said, that's the fast as I've chosen. Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry? You know, what's he saying here? Even in Isaiah, he's laying down the principles of how his kingdom is going to operate. That's what he's doing. He's saying, it's not what other men see, it's what I see. And I know the motivation of your heart. And if the motivation of your heart is right, and the doing is consistent with the motivation of your heart, then this, and you're godly, this is what it's going to look like. To loose the bands of bondage. How many people do you know right now that are in bondage? I know a bunch. I know a bunch of people that are in bondage to various things. They're in bondage to... they're in bondage to their phones. That's a funny thing because everybody is, you know. They're in bondage to their work. They're in bondage to a lot of things. But you know, I think the bondage that he's talking about here is the bondage of how they are living their lives and the motivation of why they're doing it. Spiritually. That they're in spiritual bondage. Y'all see that? That they think that they can approach to God by what they do. Now that's bondage. That's a bondage. And in this context, I think that's what he's talking about. The yoke that they're under. They're checking all the boxes. They're doing all the things that they're supposed to be doing, or at least they want everybody else to see them do that so that they can look like they're doing it with a good motivation. But that's not it. They ought to do those things, but they ought to do those things from a internal motivation of God. Now, then we see, he keeps on going. I mean, this is really the kingdom principles here in Isaiah, isn't it? Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out of thy house? When thou seest the naked, that thou cover him? And get this, this is a huge point. He says, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh. Y'all know what that means? Hiding yourself from your own flesh? It means pulling the wool over your eyes and not really owning what you really are. As a natural man. You know how some people that don't really realize how depraved that they are. They think they're pretty good, just like these other people. And they don't really see their nakedness or their wretchedness. What was it in one of the churches in Revelation? He says, you say that you're in need of nothing, and that we're increased with goods and we're rich. And God's estimation of them, he said, but you're poor and naked and wretched and blind. They weren't really realizing what they were or what they are. That's what that means, to hide yourself from your own flesh. It means to not own up to what you really are. To come clean to God, so to speak. Have y'all ever, I'm being serious, I'm being honest with you, serious with you. When you pray, have you ever prayed and just poured out your soul to God and confessed your sins to Him? Have you got in your closet when, I mean, in real closet, or maybe when you were alone and just wept over your sins? You didn't hide your flesh. Well, you never hide your flesh from God, but you didn't even try. Where you just, and it was hard for you to pronounce the words out loud, but you did it. Did God say, "Here I am," to you when you did that? I will guarantee you that He did, because He said He would. But a man that tries to hide himself from God and what He is, it's going to turn out bad. "And that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh," He says, "then," after you do these things, dealing the bread to the hungry, seeing the naked and cover him, and hiding not yourself from your own flesh, "then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thine health shall spring forth speedily." What shall spring forth speedily? Thy health. Isn't that something? I think He's talking about your spiritual health, but you know what? It's even good for our natural health. It's good for our mental health. It's good for our natural bodies to follow God and to live that way. You know, I can't even express to you the blessings naturally, I mean physically, of having, of going to bed with a good conscience. Y'all ever gone to bed with a bad conscience? I have. Do you sleep good? Nope. What happens when you don't get sleep? What, I mean, you wake up half in a fog the next day, and it's just bad on you, right? But after you prayed a prayer like that, where you didn't hide your nakedness from yourself or from God, not that you could, but when you really owned up to it, and confessed it. Did you sleep good that night? I always have. Always. What happens the next day? You wake up rejoicing in the Lord. And you wake up happy. And you wake up refreshed and ready for the day. And you want to serve Him better. You know, they say confession is good for the soul. Amen. I say it's good for the body too. That's a fringe benefit. It's good for the mind. It's good for our spiritual health for us to do that. But not only that, it's good for our natural health. You know, God knows what we need. And He tells us what we need. It's very plain. He says, "Then shalt thou call, and the Lord shall answer. Then shalt thou cry," or "thou shalt cry, and He shall say, Here I am. If thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke," means if you don't have these burdens, if you lay these burdens down at the foot of the cross, at the feet of Jesus, the putting forth of the finger, what does that mean? What is the putting forth of the finger? It's that, 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 that. When you quit saying, "You did it, your fault," when you stop doing that, you know, do y'all say that every day? When people just say, point fingers, and they get that ugly face and they say, "You did it." Accusing people. When you quit doing that, and when you quit speaking vanity, what is speaking vanity? What is vanity? Well, it's emptiness. It's things that don't hold anything. They don't have any weight to them. When you stop speaking vanity or things that are not true, He says, "I'll say, Here I am." And if thou draw out thy soul to the hunger and satisfy the afflicted soul. He keeps bringing this up, don't he? To satisfy the afflicted soul and to bring, you know, to be a benevolent person, a benevolent human being, clothing the naked and feeding the poor. Those are things that are kingdom principles. He says, and when you do that, thy darkness shall be as a noonday. So he says, you know, the darkness that you're in now is going to be gone. And the darkness that you do have is going to be light. Y'all see that? When you follow God and His principles. And get this. Have you ever wondered what to do? Have you about what decisions to make in life? You ever wondered about that? He says, and the Lord shall guide thee continually. Have you ever felt like you were just dry as a bone? Get this. And satisfy thy soul in drought. Have you ever felt like you've been in a spiritual dry place? I have. I felt that way not only daily, but I felt that way while I'm bringing a message to you. I felt just in a spiritual drought. And maybe it's because I've been pointing a finger, or maybe it's because I've just been speaking a lot of big vanity words and talking to everybody about, you know, what about the Lord, but not from a aspect of I want them to really know Him and know more about Him, but I want them to know how much I know about the Word. You know, that's not good. That's a wrong motivation. So if I speak vain words like that, God sees it. But He says, if you quit doing that, I'm going to satisfy your soul in the drought. It'd be like David. You know how David said in 23rd Psalm, he said, thou preparest the table for me in the midst of mine enemies. He says, you cause me to be at peace and comfort within myself on the battlefield. That's what we need, isn't it? Because we're in a battle. We're in a battle. We need our soul to be satisfied in drought. And make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a watered garden. He says, not a garden. Have y'all ever seen a garden that was in a drought where it was leaves were just withered up and it was just, you know, all that you could tell. Boy, they were really needing some water. You ever need some water? Here's the answer. I love that. But the Lord shall guide thee continually. That's amazing. Have you ever really desired for the Lord to just guide your steps and to keep you from falling and doing all those things? Well, I got the answer, or I know the answer. Scripture says, draw nigh to me, and I will draw nigh unto you. He says, I've given you commandments. Happy are ye if ye do them. Christ came and gave us an example of how to live. And if we live that way, we'll be happy. We'll have our soul delighting itself in fatness. Hey, and he says, and thou shalt be like a water garden and like a spring of water whose waters fail not. And they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places. Wouldn't that be nice? The places that used to be vibrant are built again. You ever seen a house that just goes to waste? We saw several. We talked about Sonia on the way to church this morning. We saw several houses that needed to be cleaned up. They had mold and stuff on their vinyl siding and stuff. And it don't take much to clean it every now and then. But if you don't clean it on a consistent basis, guess what? It builds and builds and builds and builds. My admonition to you today is to pray, is to pour out your soul to God. My admonition to you is to not hide your flesh from yourself. My admonition to you is to walk after righteousness. Seek God doing righteously. And He will not withhold His face or His direction from you. He'll guide your steps and protect you. Remember, it said He'll be your rearward. That means He'll check. He'll watch your back. You don't have to constantly be looking over your shoulder saying who's coming up. Just move forward is what that means. Not looking back. Move forward in your walk with Christ. He'll protect your backside. He'll protect you. Doors of the church are open for reception of members. Should any have the desire to come and follow Christ in His path and be part of His kingdom here with this church, may the Lord bless you is my prayer.